My dad, he on his younger day, he started, he emigrated 1903 to the United States because my grandfather was working in a mine in Pennsylvania. And then he called my father, he used to be a water boy because he was young, 13, 14. But he stayed up here and then he went back home. From back home, he came back again for a couple of years between 1900 and 1920. Because the work wasn't steady. In other words, you work in the summertime, you start in March and stop in December. Cold weather, snow, ice. And mostly these immigrants were doing sewers, roads, working on a mine, whatever. Anyway, my dad went back 13 times. Yeah, he got married, then he came over. Then the war started in 1914. He went and he joined with the Allied, and he served 3 years in the war. And after the war, he was working in Chicago with the International Harvester before he went back. In the meantime, my uncle used to live in Hamilton, was on K Street, and he used to work down what they used to call underground cable. He came to see my uncle for a holiday from Chicago, because Harvest, that also was the main factory was in Chicago. And he liked Canada so much. He says, my God, here people go out day and night, you don't have to be afraid to go to Chicago. He was so fascinated with the way people used to live in Canada. He heard about from my uncle. So when he went back to the States, and he went to the head office in Chicago and said, look, we have a branch in Hamilton. Could I get transfer an electric to Hamilton? Well, this is okay by us.
Benny's father arrived here in 1920. He went to work as a molder at the International Harvester plant at the bottom of Sherman Avenue at Burlington Avenue. In 1928, he had socked away enough money to bring over Benny's older brother. In 1930, it was 13-year-old Benny's turn. By this time, it had been 9 years since he'd laid eyes on his father. He remembers the trip well.
I barely remember my dad because I was 4 years old when he left. You know, and I came, I had to have an, what they call, not a sponsor, somebody to look after me while I was on the boat. See, so like, was a lady was coming over from the same surrounding, her and the son and the daughter, and her husband was here. Yeah. Accompagnatore, what they call. Yeah. Somebody being a minor age until you land in New York. And the Red Cross took over. They put big tag here with Red Cross. But I still remember a lady, I couldn't speak a word of English, but she, I guess, more or less appeased me because I started to cry. She said, no, come with me. And she took me to the railroad station. There, again, she spoke with somebody on the train there to say this boy goes to Hamilton. Only thing I had, my father's address in an envelope, piece of paper, everything I used to show, you know, and they took me off the train and they made me stay in overnight in Niagara Falls, Ontario. But the next morning, 7 o'clock, they put me in the train again, and then as soon as I came to Hamilton, my dad was waiting for me there, but I'll never forget February the 5th, so cold and icy. Well, I saw snow cold, but oh my God. And the ice when you walk, you could...
When Benny arrived, Hamilton was in the grip of a severe economic depression. This hit the Ferry family hard. His older brother was thrown out of work. His father was lucky to cobble together 2 or 3 days of work a week for 5 or 6 months of the year. Benny and his brother did what they could to make a dollar here or a dollar there to help out the family.
And we used to go picking fruits. And then we went to Katy at the Ancaster Golf Course in summertime, you know, to make, that time we used to get 75 cents a day if you go out with the player. And that was summertime. Winter time, maybe falling a bit of snow, we were praying for snow. I says, oh, I hope snow tomorrow. So we could go make 25 cents here. We used to go shovel snow on... from King Street South, Sherman South, all those big, big homes, you know, and people with money and people well-established made. were a doctor or lawyers. Anyway, he used to make maybe $2-3. Two, three of us used to get together. Me and my brother and a couple of guys, you know, knock at the door, can you clean this load?
When he first arrived in Hamilton, Benny and his brother and father boarded with a family on Clinton Street.
Everybody was taking in a boarder. Well, you make extra, again, $5-6. Today, nothing, but those days, get 3-4 guys, and sometimes they used to pay $10, $15, sometimes what they call full board. They give you food and shelter, then they used to pay $30, $35 a month. You know, you get 2-3 of those guys, and you get make enough money those days to carry the load for the month. Loaf bread was 5 cents. 20 pound of pasta was $2. A gallon of oil, $1. Banana, 10 cents a dozen. Eggs, 15 cents a dozen. You know, and then, of course, the bread went 7 cents, 8 cents, 10. Yeah, right. But that's all there used to be that day. So if a woman could put 2-3 boarders and pay about $30 a month, she was happy.
Family and boarders usually lived in very close quarters. The Nunziata home at 16 Clinton Street where Benny boarded had 16 people under one roof. As you can well imagine, space was cramped. Benny, his father, and his brother lived in one room. The other boarder lived in another. The parents had their own room, and many of their 9 children slept on a collection of mattresses in the front room. Like many Italian women, Mrs. Nunziata's day was never done.
Well, the mother, of course, cooking, cleaning, washing, mending, socks, your pants. You know, she never stopped, the poor lady. You know, imagine, with 16 people in your home. You know, and she was, I don't think she never slept. Because we used to go to bed at night, she was still there. I'd get up early in the morning, she was still either cooking or washing, and, you know.
The Ferries eventually moved out and rented a house of their own. To make ends meet, they too had to take in 5 boarders. The Ferries used to do all of the cooking and cleaning, but they hired a Polish woman from the neighborhood to do their washing. By February 1935, things were going well for the Ferries. Benny's dad was working full-time. He managed to secure Benny a job at the Harvester as a chipper. He even started making applications to bring his wife and 2 other children to Hamilton. His plan was to get his children established working here for the next 7 or 8 years. He'd then retire with his wife back home, where he could live out the rest of his life in happiness on the plot of land they had back there. But before Benny could even collect his first paycheck, he woke up one morning to find that disaster had struck. His father had passed away in his sleep. At that point, explains Benny, the sky came down. With the family's dreams in tatters, Benny and his brother were forced to give up their house and move in with an uncle and aunt living on K Street. As the 1930s wore on, Benny's fondest memories are of his musical involvements. He'd received some musical education back in Italy. In the early 1930s, he started playing with a band in local hotels. This was for fun, but it was also for money.
Anyway, we used to go there, set up 4 or 5 of us, and play for nothing. For nothing is work this way. We used to beg the guy, you know, and you say, no, I can't pay you. So the guys were there drinking, and they say, oh, play this song, play this song. So that time we had, it was a gimmick. This was the owner of the hotel put the ideas in our hand. He says, well, you can't drink. First of all, you're minor. You don't want to drink all night. You have to play. Then you don't want to drink anyway. No, we want money. So I said, tell them you smoke. And they used to give us those 10 cents package. At the end of the night, if we had, say, 30, 40, 50 packages plus that, we used to go back to the owner, we used to go back to the cigarette, and he used to give us the 10 cents. And we used to make $2, $2.50 each. It was a lot of money then.
By the late 30s, Benny was playing with an Italian band. This band was involved in neighborhood charity drives. One time, Benny and other band members marched door-to-door, raising over $200 for the Red Cross.